Chert Hollow Farm sits nestled between rows of tall trees and a nearby stream in central Missouri. Eric and Joanna Reuter have been running an organic farm here since 2006. That means they don't use genetically modified crops and can only use a few approved kinds of chemicals and fertilizers.
We've traditionally raised about 1.5 acres of pretty intensively managed produce, so it's a very, very productive 1.5 acres of really intercropping things.
Their neighbors grow acres of corn and soybeans, and they mostly got along. That is, until one July evening in 2014. Joanna was transplanting some broccoli when...
I basically heard this loud noise. It was coming north to south. And I basically yelled, "What the is that?"
They spotted a crop duster passing unusually close to their property. Shortly after experiencing headaches and irritation, they knew the wind had blown something chemical onto their land. But without knowing what it was, they were left in the lurch with a big asterisk on the authenticity of their organic crops.
We were concerned about how do we properly market ourselves, because we feel very strongly about openness and honesty, and we felt a little odd about marketing farm shares and such for the next year as a sustainable, chemical-free farm.
They've opted not to sell their produce this year and hope the contaminated soil will rebound for next year. It's a big hit for their small business. The guilty crop duster, he received a warning letter. The farm next door did not respond to my request for an interview.
We're more susceptible to that kind of contamination than we thought. And that raises the stakes significantly for a farm like ours.
Although conventional farms can also get hit with unwanted pesticides, it's the $40 billion organic industry that's most vulnerable. As more organic farms pop up, these kinds of disputes will only be more common. Casey Buell of the National Pesticide Information Center says there's no clear picture of how common pesticide drift is for the nearly 20,000 organic farms nationwide.
The data would get better and possibly resource allocation would increase if there was more consistent reporting.
That's why the organic industry is pushing for national regulations that prioritize drift investigations and consider stricter penalties for negligent farms. Here's Nate Lewis from the Organic Trade Association.
Once we do have a kind of a federal approach to pesticide drift, I suspect we'll be a lot more coordinated in our responses and potentially have better prevention strategies and more timely reaction to events when they do occur.
Farmers say investigations into chemical drift can drag on for months. Organic farmer Margot McMillan traipses through her muddy farmland about 25 miles from Chert Hollow. Here at Tarabella Farm, she grows all sorts of vegetables with help from Julie Wheeler.
One thing that you could really tell now this year, it looks like, I think we have been hit again, Julie, because look at that line. Looks worse than usual.
She reaches for a grape leaf showing signs of pesticide damage.
This curling of the leaf is real characteristic, and then there's a real thinness to the, we can kind of see the thinness of that leaf, and they look like little fists, like, help, help.
McMillan is all too familiar with curled up foliage. In 2014, pesticide drift took a $25,000 chunk out of her tomatoes. She says this year she's been forced to grow her plants defensively, as she puts it. Large bushes now block the wind from the road. She moved crops over a crest away from other farms and moved the tomatoes inside the greenhouse.
Everybody that doesn't use the chemicals is running into this problem, and none of us want to go to some kind of a biotech tomato. We like our real tomatoes.
McMillan says a stricter penalty system could help improve accountability for pesticide negligence, but ultimately, planting defensively is what organic farmers currently have to do to survive. Christopher Husted, Harvest Public Media.